Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the White Sox have clinched the playoff spot, a come-from-behind 4-3 win. Three out of four from the Twins, a three-game lead in the Central. What are your expectations now for this team?
You know, our last caller asked you, do we think that this White Sox team will be intimidated with some of the other teams that they see in the postseason? I would ask you, if you're one of the more, quote-unquote, established teams or better team, you want to see this White Sox team come in to, you know, to face them? I wouldn't.
Well, and I think a lot of young teams, too, are just young and they don't care about being, they don't overthink things. Kind of, you know, the Cubs went into Pittsburgh in 15. They didn't care. It was, and they won the wild card game. They beat the Cardinals. This year, remember, too, you're not playing in front of 50,000 at Yankee Stadium. You're not going to Houston with garbage cans crapping and stuff. You know, I mean, you're going to, after that first round, if you make it there, you're going to play in the bubble. I mean, I'm not promising anything, but I don't believe that the way this team has played and the way they've gotten better through all of this.
If the playoffs started today, the White Sox would be the one seed. The Indians would be the eight. You'd have a best of three series with the Indians.
Yeah, and like the caller said, the Indians have done well, and that they're probably better than an eight seed. Let's see how all this still shakes out, but again, I'm not putting like any governor on my expectations for the White Sox.
Nor would I.
And it's going to be interesting with the Cubs in first place too, and they're really starting to take command of that division. I thought maybe there'd be a chance that the Brewers or the Cardinals can make a run. Right now, the Reds aren't they tied or in second right now?
They are in second place. I'm not so sure in terms of percentage points, but somehow, some way, in terms of games behind, they find themselves in second.
Yeah, and look, there are two ways to look at it. I've gotten some tweets, and I've talked to some people within the White Sox organization where they say, you know, the only thing that stinks about this, how great would it be if there was 40,000 people on the south side today and they could have had a chance to celebrate a clinch. They would have had a chance to celebrate a come-from-behind win. Think how loud that place would have been when Aloy lined that down the left field line. Like, I choose to look at it the other way. Of course, we would all love to be at all these events. Pairs opening day with the White Sox clinching, Cubs and Indians tonight, and all this. The flip side of that is where in a year that it is a pandemic, in a year that I can't go anywhere, in a year that I can't be with my friends, and like nothing is promised right now, how great of a joy is it that at least we get to turn on the TV and we're able to be distracted for 3 hours by the first place White Sox?
It's been kind of cool.
You know what I mean? Or by the first place Cubs. I could flip that around and like instead of choosing to be depressed that I can't go to these games, I'm just thrilled that we don't have a horse crap team. Like the Bears are 1-0 and the Cubs are in first place and the White Sox clinched. Like we could be sitting here with bad teams and at home too.
Well,
and
no
sports.
And with your DraftKings app, you could have dialed in today and put some money down on Abreu or Encarnacion to hit a dinger.
There you go.
And you could have made some money.
So
I
could waddle
they were plus
in all
money
of it.
Today.
Yeah, they were.
Some of us may have a 25-1 ticket on them winning the World Series. I'm not saying. Just saying.
What are their odds right now?
12-1. 12-1.
12-1.
Yeah.
They hit the over for their season predictions on Tuesday already with 20 games left in the season.
Right. We were hoping like, can they win 32 or 33 games? You know, 60 games.
I see Ricky on my television right now. Everyone's forgotten about, you know, hey, is Ricky the missing piece to this puzzle? Kind of everything has gone in around, so that hasn't even been a discussion point because everything's been so good.
But remember, the decisions get magnified in the postseason.
That is true.
Just don't
23 and 5 in their last 28 games.
But you got to compliment the manager and the culture and what they've done. Jose in Summit. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jose?
White Sox, baby.
There you go. I haven't heard that in a long time.
So, a couple of things. One, I'm a teacher, so e-learning is not the greatest. Two, I'm a soccer referee. My season got canceled, but my White Sox are in the playoffs. I haven't seen the White Sox win it off since 15 years ago, and I was 21. So, yes, life is completely different, but, like, piggybacking on what you just said, like, we have to look at the positives. Our teams are in the playoffs. We're in first place.
Yeah, and my expectation, too, is that, you know, you're going to be able to, as a Cubs fan, Sylvie, celebrate the same thing here shortly.
Right.
And then it's going to be double glorious in this town. Then Baseball City USA will officially be back.
I get them both to the bubbles, you know, these, like, win that first series.
Get through the first series.
That's, you know how baseball is. It can be really weird. Yeah, and just get to the bubble and then take our chances, you know, and hopefully our teams get hot.
By the way, also, real quick, do you know how this game stayed alive in the seventh inning was, of all people, Jose Abreu hit a kind of a lightly hit ground ball between third base and shortstop. And because he was hustling, he ran that thing out. It was an infield hit that allowed Eloy to step to the plate and make things happen.
Yes. MVP.
I'm just telling you, like, of all things, you know, at the fleet of foot, Jose Abreu made things possible by getting out of the box on a lightly hit ground ball between the shortstop and the third baseman and got his ass to first base quicker than you would have ever thought he could get to first base, and it kept things alive.
All those little things. Eric Ostrowski, you just heard his voice. He's in for Bleck today. Eric, you're a Sox fan. You would go with Abreu over Tim Anderson?
I believe so. I just, the numbers and everything he's done, plus playing the 10 more games in a shortened season, I feel like you have to go with Abreu. He's also the big-time leader in that clubhouse, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
this has been fun. I'm texting back and forth with my dad right now. Like, he's just sending me hawkisms. It's a blast. This is a lot of fun.
What I mean, and I know it's only 60, and I know it's, like, this stuff is still so damn meaningful for people. You know, it just is... It like, I don't believe in the asterisks, and with as hard as it's going to be with the extra round, with the extra team, I think it's going to be one of those that may mean just as much, if not more, if they win it during a year like this year. Max and Skokie, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Super pumped, over the moon. I haven't seen the Sox in the playoffs since we had a washed-up Ken Griffey Jr. on the team.
Right.
So very, very pumped.
But remember, Max, he made a big play for you guys in the blackout game.
Oh, I remember. I was there.
Well, there you go. Max was there.
One of the best environments ever, right, for a playoff game?
Insane. Absolutely craziness. So it's kind of a bummer that there are no fans there. But on the flip side, you know, they're in the playoffs. It's crazy. But, hey, so the thing that I want to ask you guys, and I was talking to my dad about this. I work about 6 feet away from him at the office. I was wondering why we always start the Parrott at DH and not run McCann, especially with a new contract looming in this offseason. So I want to get your guys' take on why McCann's not running in the DH spot more often.
It's a good question because McCann's numbers are significantly better than Encarnacion's. I said today, I think even after hitting the home run, he was 1-for-3. I believe he's hitting 170 and change, like 172 or 170.
Well, Encarnacion's not – I mean, you can do that now, but Encarnacion's not going to be here next year. So you've got to find a way to sign McCann, and then either why wouldn't you?
Because you need, like, wouldn't Trevor Bauer look good in a Sox uniform? He looked good on either side of town.
Yeah,
but if you're a Sox fan, why wouldn't you want Trevor Bauer?
No, you would, but also if you have Giolito, if you have – Keuchel, if you have Kopech, who's supposed to come back, Dane Dunning's looking well, and then maybe Dylan Cease is your five. Yeah, you could, but you have your pitching is kind of coming together. So if you could, I know a lot of Sox fans want to spend on McCann and want to keep him there.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it's redundant. You've got Grandal, you've got McCann, you've got Abreu, you've got Vaughn on the way. Those are Eloy. Is he going to play left field or is he going to DH?
Ooh, he can't play left field late in games.
Did they replace him today finally, didn't they?
I think so.
In a one-run game, and that's what we've been wondering. Like, I think you have to. You just have to put yourself in the best position to win when you're winning in that ninth inning. Even if you may lose his bat, you got other good bats.
Yeah.
But if you're in a playoff game, you cannot lose that lead because Aloy screws up in the outfield late in the game. Don't you agree?
I totally agree. Yes.
Sal in Bloomingdale, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sal?
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're fantastic.
Hey, great White Sox win. Just wanted to touch base on something you just said, that, hey, Jose Abreu hustled, and he was safe at first that allowed for that run to score. I want all the White Sox fans to know as to why it happened. It happened because Rick Renteria installed that in this team for the last 3 years. Hustle, hustle, hustle. Play till the last out. Every single thing. Give Rick Renteria some credit. This team is in first place, missing their best reliever, no production from right field, hardly any production from third base. They have the best record in the league. I'm not seeing Rick Renteria as a genius, but he's not the punching bag either that the White Sox fans are making him out to be.
Sal, it's a good call. I mean,
yeah, he deserves credit.
And when Kopech goes out, you know, and you have so much expectation for Michael Kopech going into this year, in a year that you think you can do damage, like, there's a lot that the manager, you know, has to take on.
So and Sal said too, I mean, if I told you that the Sox would do what they have done, they'd be 33-17 and would have been the first team in the American League to clinch a playoff spot, and Moncada would be hitting for the season, you know, whatever, wherever he is right now, I mean, you would have never said that would be the case, right? He's hitting .238 with 5 home runs.
He was what I thought would be an MVP candidate.
Right.
If you told me that the Sox had 2 MVP candidates at the beginning of the year, I would have told you one of them's Moncada. And it's not been that way.
No.
Steve and Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Stevie?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Still be good.
Strong.
Thank you, Steve.
I'd just like to say, like, if the White Sox and Indians do meet, the White Sox have almost zero experience besides Grandel, Keuchel, and Edwin. And yeah, the Indians have had all experience. Plus, you know, our younger guys have all – we've been there the last 7 years. I just wanted to see if that – what you guys think if that matchup did happen, like – what do you guys think? I'll hang up and listen.
Like, experience is something, and I keep drawing back on my team. But the Pirates had a lot of playoff experience going into that 15 wild card game. Again, I think, you know, in baseball, it's funny. Weird stuff happens, so the cream doesn't always rise to the top. But again, I wouldn't write off the White Sox based on a lack of experience at all.
No, and I look at the Indians, and I respect what they've done, but offensively, they're not a scary baseball team.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Giolito's not been in the postseason, but I feel good giving Giolito in a game one.
Yeah.
Don't you feel good about Giolito in a pressure moment?
Yeah.
312-332-3776. A lot of great calls. Sox have clinched the division. Anything you want to talk about, we are guest-free in the 5 o'clock hour. Sox win 4-3. They came from behind. They win 3 out of 4 from the Twins. They officially clinch a playoff spot. They lead the division by 3 games. So we're taking your Sox calls. A lot of people on hold, I see. We're going to get to your Bears calls, too. It's Bears opening Sunday. How are you going to replicate, if you had tickets to this opener and you have been doing this for years, what are you going to try and do on Sunday, if anything? And also, would you want to go to a game, let's say in the middle of the year, they start letting 10,000 people in? Would you want to go? Ring them up at 312-332-3776. Pretty good day on Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
White Sox move on to Cincinnati now, right? We're on to Cincinnati.
On to Cincinnati, or is Cincinnati here?
No, they're going to Cincinnati.
All right. Queen City.
So the White Sox win today 4-3. They win 3 out of 4 from the Twins. A 3-game lead in the AL Central. This young team, after the baseball season was postponed, they go through this second summer camp. They look so good, remembering those intra-squad games against the Cubs then. And we're like, whoa, they look good, but yeah, they don't count. Is this how good they're going to be? And they were pretty good early. And then this recent stretch where you just mentioned how dominant they've been. And they've beaten the the bad teams like you want them to do. There's never make excuses for going 9-1 against the Royals, against Detroit. Don't make excuses. That's how you make hay.
Yeah.
And then you mature, then you beat the Twins 3 out of 4.
Step one, beat the teams you're supposed to be. Beat the easy team, so to speak.
I put the poll up there.
Put your poll up there.
It's brought to you by your Chicagoland Toyota dealer. How far will the White Sox go this postseason?
All the way!
So I just went to rounds, like, because there's 4 rounds. So will they go to the wild card and that's it? Will they go to the ALDS? Will they go to the ALCS? Will they get to the World Series? A, B, C, or D?
What is leading?
I'm going to go to the ALCS.
Okay.
I say they win a couple of rounds here.
I'll join you with that.
Okay. So far, it's very, very early. Very, very early. I mean, it's like we only have a couple hundred votes. Vote on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie. 45.5% to the World Series.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're Sox asking it the day joyous. They clinched.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, of course. Why not?
Well, you may get some Cubs fans in there to try and spoil the day.
That's why it's not 100%.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
Well, it's 45.5% to the World Series, 22.2% with where we're going, Waddle, the ALCS, 20.4% to the ALDS, and only 12% say they get to this wild card round and that's it.
My only concern is there, and I know here, maybe Joe and Joliet will call us or something. Or
I've asked. Okay.
Listen, because here's what I'm going to say.
That's what I said yesterday.
In a normal year, you have off days in the DS and in the CS and
just
in the World Series.
Rapid fire.
This year, games 1-7 are games 1-7. Yeah. There's no off days. So if they get into, you know, if you have to pitch Cease a day, if you have to, who knows what they're going to have to do. Like, if guys can pitch on short rest, cool, but ultimately
guys are going to have to go.
Guys are going to have to go. And that can be a concern if you have to go deep into a playoff
Who's
series.
Got the most desirable rotation in the American League right now? Would it be the Yankees? I mean, you've got Cole. I haven't followed closely what he's doing.
As good as advertised this year, at least. Is Verlander coming back for the Astros?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I've been so focused on Chicago baseball
that
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't focused on a lot of other teams. I mean, Cole's got a 3 ERA.
And then I've read, Waddle, where this is going to be more than ever bullpen series, too.
Yeah.
And so the White Sox have a good bullpen. Josh in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joshua.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thanks. Appreciate you, Josh. Thanks.
And Sylvie, just kind of a word, you know, just super happy. Everything seems like it's going well. And just best wishes for you and your family moving forward.
I appreciate you being in my corner, Josh. Thanks.
Absolutely. But, I just want to call a previous caller recently was just talking about, you know, Encarnacion versus McCann moving forward. You know, my opinion, McCann, he's really the catalyst for that starting rotation. So, you know, as he's talking about the starting rotation coming together, in my opinion, a lot of that's due to McCann. So you cut McCann after this year, and then what happens with Giolito? I mean, look at what he's done with McCann. We've already saw a couple starts that he's had with Grandal. Is that what you want to sign up for after this year?
It's an interesting question. John Lester always pitched to David Ross, but then he got used to Contreras.
Right.
I mean, it can be done.
The good thing is
but McCann
they have...
is so much more offensive than David Ross ever was.
Right.
And he's a weapon.
You would think, too, that they have some wiggle room because of what their salary structure looks like right now.
Yeah, it depends how badly they want to do it.
Yeah. They have the 19th highest payroll in baseball.
Okay, so yeah. They're just.
But again, like a lot of these teams will be cutting back. Ted in Wrigleyville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ted?
Hey, guys. Yeah, thanks. I'm a Cubs fan, and I just wanted to say congratulations to the Sox and all the Sox fans. And, you know, it's been awesome to run, but I would say to all the Sox fans, really enjoy this year and next year. Because if I think back to 2015 and 2016, Sylvia, I don't know if you agree, but those years were extra special, obviously 16 because of the championship, but just climbing the mountain, the enthusiasm, kind of the momentum of the team, and it was just awesome. All the young guys, the core, we fell in love with that team, and I hope the Sox fans really enjoy it because, like I said, it's still fun, But the problems get a little bit different now, and yes, things aren't as fun. Maybe we're used to it, but it's a little different. So hope they enjoy it. That's all.
Ted, like I've always said that, and I said that the other day too, that the climb up, there is nothing like the climb up. I mean, obviously the best moment you ever want is when you win a championship.
Right.
But when you're young and you love every single player and you're getting to know them and they're surprising you, and you, like we talked about Chris Bryant today, and he's still really good, but he's not great anymore. He's not a superstar. And a lot of Cubs fans don't love him anymore.
Well, once you achieve a certain level of success, then expectation levels rise. And then when guys don't meet those expectation levels, then you set yourself up for disappointment. Whether on the north side it's Schwarber, it's Bryant, whoever it is. Like, because now the elevated level of expectation based on what you've seen, it's really hard to consistently get there year in and year out. So enjoy this moment now where the expectation level hasn't been set at an extraordinarily high level.
Let me give you an example. Joe Maddon. Don't you remember when we used to dream about a Cubs World Series and we said that manager, whoever figures out how to get it done and that the pressure doesn't make them buckle like they've buckled in so many years, that guy will never have to buy a meal ever. He's going to have a job for life. Some Cubs fans were done with Joe Maddon after 3 years. And he's gone after five.
Built a restaurant and then had to sell it, right?
Yeah, shutter it up. Jason in Bridgeview, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Hey, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Long-time listener. Always wanted to say that.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. Hashtag Sylvie Strong.
Thank you.
Just want to say I'm excited for my boys on the south side. I mean, I expected them to be good.
Did we lose Jason?
Yeah, he dropped.
Yeah, he dropped.
I think a lot of people, though, were going to say what he wanted to say.
Said that he was hoping, but his expectation probably wasn't what they've achieved so far. I mean, Eric, you're a diehard Sox fan. Have they exceeded your expectation, or was this something that you thought they should be able to accomplish?
I went into the season thinking if they were competing for a playoff spot, then I would be happy. If I saw growth in the young guys like we saw at the end of the season last year, that's great. But now, like, they've raised the bar. Like, now with this lineup and the way they've played, now my expectations are higher.
Right.
That's I'm fair. Telling you, this is going to go down in history as one of the cooler sports years for teams. Like I told you, that 18 Bears team when it was club dub was so much fun. I'm just talking about the regular seasons here, okay? Not the double doink. You know, and I compared it to 08-09 Hawks. That 1 year they were up on the up, and they got all the way to the Western Conference Final. You know, the 15 Cubs, these surprise years.
Right. That's what was so exciting about the 18 Bears was because you weren't expecting it.
Yes. The 01 Bears, you know, the Mike Brown.
Right.
Those years are so much damn fun. Mike and Lombard wanted to talk about the Bears. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
We're good, Mike.
Yeah, I know you guys are talking Sox, and congrats to them. But I wanted to take it back to the Bears real quick here. On Trubisky and Nagy, I think we're looking in the wrong direction. When you pick apart the games, everyone talks about if Mitch is Mitch, he's really good. Fourth quarter, Dallas last year, other games in New England last year with my son. And I think you got to let him be him. And I'm not saying he needs to run, but if he knows he can, he's a different guy. And I'm telling you, I believe that, you know, if he doesn't say, I got to stay in the pocket, got to stay in the pocket, got to stay in the pocket, which it seems is what is happening. He's too mechanical with Nagy. Nagy's got to let him go. Newton at the 10 runs it for two touchdowns. What happens at that game in the first quarter if he runs from the 10 instead of trying to stay in the pocket? So I think we're looking a little bit in the wrong direction and probably need to look at Nagy a little bit more. What do you guys think about that?
I thought Matt Nagy did a really nice job putting Mitch in a better position to take advantage of what he does well and deodorize, to use his word, some of the things he doesn't do very well. I mean, Steve Young told us, what was it, 2 years ago, Sylvie? Look, it was great that he was doing things out on the edge, but Bill Walsh told him, you're not going to be great until you learn to play from the pocket as well. So you've got to be able to do both. And I think that Matt did a really nice job of supporting him with a running game. They had him under center. I don't think you want Mitch sitting back in the shotgun 45 times a game surveying the field.
That's what they did last year.
Yeah, I mean, we saw too much of that. You do want to get him on the edge. You do want to move him out. You have to support him with the running game. But it's not just about, hey, Mitch, just like, go out there and play, you know, schoolyard ball. There has to be some sort of discipline and plan in place as well.
He's not an RPO quarterback.
No, he's not.
He can't make the decision.
Correct.
Right, that's the thing. Like, he's got the tools athletically.
He's got the athletic ability, but again, that's why, again, you didn't see a whole lot of that on Sunday, did you? You were expecting more of that?
No.
Were you expecting more of him in the shotgun because it's what you were used to? That's why I thought Matt did a really nice job of taking some of that away from him because it's not what he does best.
312-332-3776. So we've got a lot on our plate. We've got the White Sox clinching a playoff spot, taking 3 out of 4 from the Twins, having a 3-game lead in the American League Central. Where do you expect them to go this postseason? How much fun has this year been? This is a day to sort of look. We've talked about this for a long time. This has been a rebuild for 3 years. They chose a lane. They traded Chris Sale. They traded Adam Eaton. They decided not to go for it and plug holes like they had been doing year in and year out and get hot. Instead, they decided to get a core. They signed Luis Robert. They traded for Aloy and Dylan Cease.
Satisfying day for Rick Hahn.
Just think about everything to go into this and what a joyous day this should be for the Sox fans. Ring it up if you're a Sox fan, 332-3776. Some Bears fans want to talk Bears, want to get into the topic about what you're going to do for the opening game. How much different is it going to be if you're used to going as a ticket holder and what you plan on doing? 332-3776.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right. Congrats again to the White Sox and all the fans out there for clinching a playoff spot. They could win the division. They've got a 3-game lead. One today, 4-3. 3 out of 4 from the Twins. Brooks Boyer, friend of the station, Jason Benetti.
They all have to be just thrilled.
Yes, all of our friends over
long
at the
time
White
coming.
Sox. What's that?
Long time coming.
Yeah, long time. Long time. Speaking of that, Greg Braggs introduced me to this story. And then I called up Dow and I said, hey, what do you think? I think it's important to highlight fan stories on our show. We've done that throughout our 13 plus years on the air. So, Waddle, this guy watched you play every home game of your career.
He must be old.
Let me tell you, his name is Paul Zawicki. And this is
such a good Chicago name.
Paul Zawicki. Bears. He's 52 years old, and he has a streak of attending 363 games home and away. Okay.
Wow.
The last away game that he's missed was September 15th, 2002. That's 18 years ago. He has a current streak that started in 1981 at the age of 13 of attending every Bears home game, including preseason games. Waddle, that's a streak of 395 straight games.
That's amazing.
At Soldier Field. So it's been since 1981, a stretch of 39 years since Paul Zawicki has missed a Bears game. And, of course, opening game Sunday, fans aren't able to go. And we wanted to highlight Paul's great story. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How are you?
Well, I guess I'm doing okay. I survived missing Sunday's game in Detroit.
So what'd you do, Paul? Paul, what'd you do for the game?
Well, for the game, I went up with some guys we tailgate with.
Okay.
They had a RV set up in their driveway in Indiana. Bear Man, my one friend, suggested we go out there and watch the game. So we had a lot of room to social distance and all watched the game out there and did a tailgate out there. And it was a good time, but nothing like being at a game, right. That's for sure.
Paul, the experience is unbelievable, and I know missing a road game like had to be something for you, but missing a home game, something that you haven't missed in 1981, since 1981, what will your emotions be when you're watching it on a TV and not at Soldier?
I am not even sure. I've had a couple times dreams about, I've been running late, I wasn't able to get to a game at Soldier Field once or twice. Not often, but that's happened in the past.
Wow.
And so I don't know, I can't imagine what it's going to be like looking at a game being played at Soldier Field with the Bears and not being there.
Paul, what's your favorite experience or memory of a game you've been in? What's your least favorite experience at a game?
Least favorite, probably a tie between the Halloween night game against the Packers at Soldier Field.
Yeah, that's part of that, yeah.
And take your pick of any of the 49er games at Candlestick Park. I added up once how bad I've seen the Bears lose out there in like 7 or 8 games.
Yeah, that's part of a couple of those too, yeah.
Yeah, that was incredible. Best one? I'd have to say a couple of the games, like the 1987, the game the Bears almost lost and then came back and won in Lambeau Field shortly after the strike. The 87 game where they made the defensive stand on the goal line and came back and scored a touchdown to win the division.
Paul, how cool was it to be a fan that went to every single game when that 85 team was doing what they were doing?
Well, in 85, I didn't go to the away games, but just going to the home games, I mean, that was awesome. That, you know, I was still in high school at that point, so I was lucky to be able to get to all the games. We bought them all before the season started and waited out for the playoff games, but that was something else. That's something I'll never forget, that 85 team.
Paul,
a lot of other teams I won't forget.
Yeah.
Paul Zawicki joining us. He's a Bears super fan. It hasn't been since 1981, 39 years, he hasn't missed a home Bears game. And have you come close? Like you said, you had these stress dreams. Like, was there ever a day in these 39 years that it was close that you were maybe not going to attend?
You know, there really wasn't. One time, a friend of mine's parent died, and it was a funeral on a Saturday when we played the Patriots on Christmas Eve on a Saturday. And I kind of went straight from the funeral straight to Soldier Field. My friend met me at work. I was still in a suit. I said, I don't have time to change. Let's go. And we got there just before kickoff. That's as close as I've ever come. But I've been fortunate. I really haven't had many close calls.
Will you go if they allow you to go mid-season?
Definitely. I've already booked flights for all the away games this year and hotels, and I'm kind of canceling them one by one as the games come up that I'm not able to go to. So I'm hoping something changes here in Chicago, or at least in Carolina, since I know the Falcons won't let fans in during September.
Mm. What's your prediction for this year's team?
I'd like to say about 10-6. The defense scared me some on Sunday. If I was there, I would have felt like I could help them. I know I can't. And then the offense, I was hoping to see something different, and up until the very end, it pretty much seemed like the same thing. So I'm hoping we see something different against the Giants. I am really hoping that.
Yeah, so are we. So are we, Paul. We're hoping to see that offense get on track a little sooner than like halfway through the fourth quarter.
Yes, that would be very nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would. Well,
how about one of your favorite games, opening day, what was it, 1992? When a certain somebody had a game-winning catch against the Detroit Lions?
Yes, I think I recall that one. That was like the Wayne Font smoking a cigar revenge game, as I recall. Yes, that was probably one of the best opening games, I will say. That one at Soldier Field.
That's right, because in 91, didn't we lose, Paul, the final? I'm asking you. I think we lost the final game of the regular season to the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Monday night game, and we're losing that game, and Wayne Font is smoking the victory cigar because it propelled the Lions to win the division.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Ditka was not happy about that.
No.
No.
Paul, this has been very entertaining for us. Congrats on the streak, and make the best of it, okay? Yes. And go Bears.
I will do my best. Go Bears.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul Zawicki, Bears super fan, who has to educate Waddle on some of the Bears history that Waddle was a part of.
That's no doubt. Cracks me up. Awesome. Well, listen, memory's kind of an odd thing.
Isn't it amazing? 39 years. He's only 52 years old. It started when he was 13.
Do you know, I mean, just the ability to, and the, you know, having a schedule, whereas not just the home games, but in his adult, you know, since being an adult, to be going to all the away games as well.
All of them. Incredible. So do you have a story like that? And are you a ticket holder? And what are you going to do? If you want to talk White Sox with us as well as they clinch a playoff spot today, 332-3776.
This hour is brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
A lot to you today, as we should, with the White Sox clinching a playoff spot. The
division
could be next. The division could be next.
Unfortunately, no baseball show tonight for Adam Abdallah to start spitting baseball knowledge at you. We got basketball, correct, Adam?
Game two.
Yeah, game two, the Eastern Conference Finals.
Who you got? Where's your money?
This is tough. I don't know. I don't know because the last
plus 2.5.
I got burned last time because I took the under in that game and it went to overtime. So there was no way.
I'm riding with the Heat. They've made me money.
If I had to make a bet,
it would probably be
that the Celtics even it up.
Okay,
probably me too. But Waddle's been pretty good so far with the Heat. You've rode the Heat, haven't you?
They've had one loss in the postseason. Yeah. Just one.
They might be worth a money line sprinkle against the Bucks,
and then they won the first game. That's money line sprinkle.
You can get the baseball show with Bleck and Sox Dalla tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
So yeah, we'll have the NBA. But Abdallah I played the Abdallah first half under on DraftKings just now for the football game.
Oh, I got to do that as
22
well.
22 and a half. That's good value.
I got it at 22.5.
Is that good value?
I think so. Do you think the Browns and the Bengals can get more than three touchdowns in the first half? We know how these Thursday night games are.
There may be three turnovers before there's three touchdowns.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be windy out there.
Is there wind? A little wind. We know the kicker.
Are you just saying that, or did you check the Cleveland forecast?
I saw a tweet earlier that said windy forecast for a game tonight.
Did you see also that the Bengals kicker who grabbed his calf, Bullock, big fella, it looks like he's a little out of shape.
He's fine, though, now, right?
He wasn't even on the injury report.
No, I know. That's what I said Monday. He faked it like a YMCA basketball player. He faked it. Like Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh.
Honey Bear, our good friend Honey Bear, who goes to a ton of these games, is on ESPN 1000. Hey, Honey Bear.
Hey, congrats on passing through chemo. I'm so happy.
Thank you.
And I kind of feel like I don't have much to say because I was literally going to call about my friend Paul because the man needs to have more recognition. That man is an idol and a friend, and he is incredible. And it's been tough for fans. Like Paul, but there's always several fans like Paul in every NFL team base. Their fan base is, the NFL has got such a loyal fan base, and it's been tough for a lot of us, but we got to make do with what we got. And in terms for me, I am not a season ticket holder because I'm poor. you have your traditions, and it really sucks. For a long time, I didn't even really think we were going to have it. I'm a health teacher, so for me, I know how this is, and I almost kind of just completely wrote off football. And it's last week was surreal in the fact that we're actually watching it.
Yeah.
So that was something for me, but I'm a tailgater. I haven't missed a home tailgate since October of 2009.
Nice.
Wow. Because it's a lot cheaper than going to the games. My birthday is this Sunday. And
happy birthday.
Always, Thank you, and happy belated to you. And when you have a fall birthday and you're a football fan, I mean, going to the game on your birthday is the thing. And that was my plan. This would have been my third consecutive birthday game. And, of course, you know, we have COVID. So my tailgating crew, we have already planned out that we are going to be sharing each other's houses for some home gating when we have our games. And we'll still continue to hit up the bars so long as they're open for road games. But for every home game, we're going to stay together. We're going to tailgate at our backyards. And, yeah, we're pumped for this Sunday. Hopefully everything goes well. And I'm not as optimistic as Paul is because the defense made me very concerned. But I'm looking to having a very good home opener. And, you know, there's stories I could tell you. There, a lot of the fans, like Paul, he didn't mention it, but since they have gotten to know so many of the people that work at the Bears, and this is for every ultimate fan like him, that, you know, trying to figure out if there's a way to get snuck in or anything like that. And it's a big deal for all of us, but the fact that we're finally going to be able to have football and really enjoy the season and enjoy every bit of it, that's the important thing. And I keep telling Paul, your streak is still going. You just aren't allowed to go.
I'll buy
that. You can't blame that. Your streak is still alive. There's a difference between choosing to miss and being forced to.
Right.
So, and his streak is going on, and the next game will be 396 when he goes. So,
thanks, Honey Bear.
Honey Bear, this will also make you feel better about the defense. How about this? I just checked this out. Daniel Jones was under pressure on 26 of his 48 dropbacks. That's 54.2% Monday night. Easily the most of any quarterback in the NFL. Now, that is one of the best, if not the best, overall pass rushes in the NFL coming from the Steelers. But it sounds like our guys should be able to get to the Giants quarterback as
well. Let's get Robert Quinn back on the field. Lewis and Wheaton, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Lewis.
How's it going, guys? Been a long-time listener. I've called quite a few times. I always enjoy getting to talk to you guys. Well, I will say it's going to stink not being able to go to the games. What's going to stink worse is not being able to tailgate. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I've gone with my uncle as a guy who used to own a restaurant and converted the back of his van into a kitchen. We'll just make a three-course meal in a Dutch oven. Now, like, I can't, in good faith, I can't spend it with him because, you know, he's an older guy. I don't want to, like, risk anything with, you know, COVID. So I've got this great idea. There's a parking garage right across the street from me, or from my apartment. We used to go do this on the Walden deck. I'm going to get a Dutch oven, just going to, in his honor.
Be careful.
I'm sorry?
I just want you to be careful. Be careful out there.
They keep laughing at Dutch oven because they know what Dutch oven means, but they don't know it's an actual thing. Waddle didn't know it was an actual thing.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was just telling Lewis to be careful out there.
I was worried that you thought I was about to swear or something.
No. Waddle thinks you're cooking food with farts.
No. I'm not about to do that. I don't want that pink eye. His three favorite things, White Castle casserole.
Yes.
Lasagna. And
a good Dutch oven.
With vanilla ice cream.
Wow. White Castle.
All of that.
Yeah.
What, you said White Castle casserole?
I did, yes.
Wow. That does sound
good. That's
delicious.
The appetizer.
Yeah. You will be giving someone the Dutch oven after the White Castle.
Whoa. I don't even, like.
But I mean, that is one of the funniest things. I haven't even thought of that, and that's surprising for me.
Yeah, come on, Lewis. Be careful out there, Lewis.
Thank you.
Yeah. Careful with that Dutch oven.
I do understand what he's saying. Like, going to the games is awesome. Like, you make friends with the people in your group, but the tailgate, like, these people like spend 4 hours a game with each other, and it is such a like communal affair. You know what I mean? You wouldn't know what I mean, but trust me.
I'm just trying to get past the Dutch. I'm getting past the Dutch oven.
Who do we have on today? We had Jesse Rogers, Keyshawn Johnson,
and that's a bunch of callers.
Paul Zawicki.
Paul
Zawicki.
Hey, how's you guys doing? Did you hear him say that?
Heading on down to the Jewels.
Yeah,
I love him. That guy's awesome.
Fantastic.
And thanks to everybody who called. Congrats to the White Sox. Game two coming up. We got Heat and Celtics. Thanks to Eric Ostrowski filling in for Chris Black today. Adam Abdallah, as usual. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. NBA Hoops coming up in 2 minutes. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.